Morning. Just a brief introduction. My name is Father Ed Broome, and I'll be giving a talk to the men's group shortly after the Mass, so it's great to be here in the parish. And in the sacristy before Mass, the deacon said we're going to be celebrating a votive Mass in honor of Mary, and that filled me with consolation because I have great love for Mary, and I hope you do also. Do you? Okay, so I'd like to tell you, about 1975, I was a sophomore at Villanova University, which is one of the best basketball teams in the country, you know? And the Augustinians are the ones, are the priests that teach at Villanova. And so it's been quite a few years ago, but Father Quinn, who was one of the priests there, told this homily. So it's more than 40 years ago, so I'll try to give you a summary of it as best I can. And it's related to the topic of the power of Mary. Father Quinn got this, the gist of his homily from an article from the Ligurian magazine back in the early 70s. Now probably you know that after Vatican II, the iconoclastic heresy shook the United States. Now, probably going to say, what the heck is that, Father? The iconoclastic heresy was a heresy in which they were trying to get rid of the icons and the statues and the stained glass windows. That hit the United States really strong. Really on the East Coast, it was like a bomb that hit. And what the pastors were doing were trying to get rid of the statues and the stained glass windows and all images. In the modern iconoclasts are the Jehovah's Witnesses, okay, who don't believe in the use of images. So what happened was a new pastor was assigned to a parish, and he wanted to change the situation. So he went into the parish hall and he saw a beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother that had been there for several years. And it was filled with dust and cobwebs and it was dirty and already the paint was cracking. So he decided that he was going to, because it was a really beautiful statue, he was going to try to get this repainted and placed in a prominent place in the church. So he found a shop where you had painters, and he asked the owner of that shop if he'd be able to get his workers to paint it. So the owner said, fine. The owner of this paint shop never had the job of painting a statue of the Blessed Mother. This is the first time. So the men who were not ready to be canonized saints, okay, who used a lot of vulgar language, a lot of off-color jokes, a lot of ribald language, there they are in front of this majestic, beautiful statue, but it had to be worked on. So right away, one of them was about to say a bad word, and the other said, hey, you can't do that now. Then the following day, they're looking at it. One said, well, I used to be a Catholic. Why don't we say Hail Mary? So the pastor got a phone call from the owner of the shop, and the owner said, get rid of this statue. It's turning my shop into a chapel. So the men were no longer using bad language. They were starting to pray a little bit. They started to talk about their past religious life and their nostalgia of how they used to go to church. So the pastor said, okay, just finish it and I'll pay you and then I'll take it back to the church. So that's the first part of the story. Second part of the story is that the pastor, once the statue was repainted, and it was really beautiful, found a prominent place in the church. to place the statue. And immediately there was a young woman who offered to place a bouquet of flowers in front of the Blessed Mother every day. And the priest willingly accepted her offering. So there she was, day after day, she would be replacing the flowers with a new bouquet of roses every day. This went on for a couple of years. What happened was that this woman, she was unmarried, she fell in love with a non-believer. And she decided that she was going to get married in a wedding chapel in Las Vegas. So before doing this, she decided she would tell the pastor. So she knocked on the door to the rectory, and the secretary opened the door, and she said, "I'd like to talk to the pastor before I go off to make a very important decision in my life." So the pastor received her, and she said, "Well, Father, I fall in love with this man, and he's a non-believer, and he wants to get married in the wedding chapel in Las Vegas, so I'm going to be leaving and moving on." So during her conversation, the pastor did not say anything. But after she finished her conversation, he pulled out a pad of paper and wrote down a message. And he said to her, "Could you do me one favor before you leave?" "Of course, Father." So he closed the sheet of paper, gave it to her, and told her, "I want you to go into the church, and I want you to kneel before the statue of the Blessed Mother. And I want you to just open up this sheet of paper, and I want you to read through this three times very slowly, very prayerfully. Will you do that?" She said, "Of course." So she makes her way to the church. She kneels in front of the Blessed Mother, which was really beautiful, which was her love for those 2 years. Every day for 2 years she would be placing the bouquet of roses before the Blessed Mother. So she kneels down, opens up the piece of paper, and this is what she reads. "Well, Mother Mary, you are my mother, you are my queen. You are my life, my sweetness, and my hope. But something has happened in my life. I have fallen in love with John, and we've decided to get married in a wedding chapel, and I'm going to go and live with him, and I just want to say goodbye, and I'll never see you again. Goodbye." Four hours later, the priest came to close the church. She was there weeping in front of the statue of the Blessed Mother. And to make a long story short, as we say in New York, she dropped him like a hot potato. Okay? She cut the relationship. And not short after that, she fell in love with a strong, practicing Catholic man and married in the church. And there she was, able to put a bouquet of roses in front of the Blessed Mother. One of my favorite stories. And I'll give you two interpretations. Okay, the first part of the story shows how Mary purifies the milieu or the environment from sin. You cannot have Mary's presence and sin at the same time. They are diametrically opposed. It's like oil and vinegar. You can't. You cannot love, as the Hispanics say, la purísima. And if you speak a little bit of Spanish, la purísima, which would be the most pure one, the Immaculate Conception, the Holy Mother of God, the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort says, God's masterpiece of creation. You cannot love Mary, honestly, and be embracing sin at the same time. It's theologically impossible if there's an honest devotion to Mary. I mean, if it's just a sham, then that's one thing. But there's an honest devotion to Mary. And one of my major missions is to try to get people consecrated to the Blessed Mother through my new book, okay? Getting people to consecrate their whole lives, their families, their whole being to the Blessed Mother. So that's the first. The first thing that Mary does is that she purifies this sinful environment. Scott Hahn. Some of you have heard of Scott Hahn, probably the most famous convert in this country. He'd be the Cardinal Newman to England would be the Scott Hahn to the United States, or the St. Augustine to the Church, or the St. Paul on the road to Tarsus. He tells a very interesting story related to this topic. Probably most of you know that he was a convert to Catholicism, and then his wife Kimberly would eventually enter in to the Catholic Church also. Scott Hahn, for many, many years, has always been a prolific reader as well as a writer. As a Protestant, he would go into bookstores to buy books, to browse the books, and then eventually buy some. But he could not resist, when he went to the bookstore, to go to the corner where there were bad magazines. He couldn't. Those pornographic magazines that were there more than 40 years ago, it was a pull. It's called concupiscence. There's a pulling towards that which we know to be wrong. But listen to this. He's still a Protestant. He said the rosary once as a Protestant, and he no longer had the desire to go and look at those bad magazines. So Mary, she helps us to distance ourselves to our arch enemy. Arch enemy number one is sin. The second message is this. This woman was about to ruin her life. She was going to make a catastrophic decision. A vocational choice that was obviously wrong, which would have influenced her, the man she's going to live with, and I'm not going to say her husband because she wouldn't be married in the church, the children that would be lacking the grace of the sacrament of marriage. I could go on and on and on. It was through her love for Mary, the insight of that priest also, and the presence of that statue that she was not adoring, but loving what the statue represents. That's what we do as Catholics. We don't adore the statue. That would be Mariolatry. Okay, that'd be idolatry. But loving what it represents, which is the loving, maternal, Immaculate Heart of Mary, the motherly presence of Mary. So, the message, the Filipinos have a great devotion to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which was established by the Redemptorists in the Philippines many years ago, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. So Mary can help us to get sin out of our lives. You want to save someone from sin, get Mary into life. St. Louis de Montfort would place a rosary around their necks. He'd place a rosary around their necks. And he'd pray for their conversion, and because he was such a great saint, St. Louis de Montfort, they'd be converted. So Mary can help us to get sin out of our lives. How many people here this morning are sinners? Do you want to get sin out of your lives? Love Mary. Love Mary. Consecrate yourself to Mary. Talk to Mary. Entrust yourself to Mary, and I promise you, Mary's going to be pushing you away from sin and pushing you to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And second is, we all have to make decisions. Especially adults, parents, grandparents, you have to make decisions, and some of them are very important. Let's turn to the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, that she'll help us to be guided by her spouse, who is the spouse of Mary, the Holy Spirit, that we would be enlightened and guided by the Holy Spirit. So in this morning, which we're celebrating the Votive Mass in honor of Mary, let's pray for the men in this parish that we're going to be participating in this mini-retreat, this conference, that the men that are present in your parish, the men that will be coming to the talk, will consecrate themselves to the Blessed Mother. These men who are with us now, and some will maybe be drifting in, will have a firm desire to become great saints. Amen.